Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Speaking for myself, I'm in very good pitching shape. On a pretty much a weekly basis, I'm getting a couple bullpens in, a live bullpen facing hitters out here in Sacramento. And I'm right now at like a up and down three times kind of shape, I guess you could say, where I'm simulating three innings, even extending the innings out sometimes just to get the pitch count up. And taking care of all my other business as well, whether that be lifting at home or in a facility, physical therapy work. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get there, obviously get tested, make sure everything's safe, and then continue to build up to so I can be in a position to throw a lot more innings. And then speaking with other guys on the team, especially other starting pitchers, they seem to all be in that same kind of area. So we're pretty much ready to get there and build up a little bit more, and then we'll be ready for the full workload.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the ace of the White Sox staff. That is Lucas Giolito, and he's on the 44-man roster. So good news there that Lucas Giolito will indeed be a White Sox pitcher.
Did you have any doubts?
No, I had no doubts, but I just thought we should address everybody. It's very exciting. They finally announced the 44-man roster, and it's really interesting as you go through this, some of the decisions that were made and some of the guys that get an opportunity.
Yeah, it was, and I think the big question, I think, in terms of our attention, it shifts to not necessarily who was on the roster. I think a lot of the questions surrounded guys who may not make major contributions, but I think really now you do wonder, and as you start to see the names of players that are deciding to opt out, there were four yesterday. I don't think we've had any indication that there's going to be any White Sox or Cubs players on that list, but as teams begin to test for coronavirus, you wonder, you have to expect there's probably going to be three or four per team if the percentages are similar to what the NBA found in 5%. And at that point, then you're going to see really the depth of these rosters either tested, or then you're going to be looking, okay, well, if he's cross him out, I hope he's okay. Who's next? And I just think this is going to be a daily kind of reevaluation of what you have in terms of depth and who is on your roster and who's available and who's healthy. And that's probably part of our new normal in this sort of weird, unusual circumstance of a 60-game season.
Well, what interests me is there are some guys that that weren't on the 40-man roster that are on this 44-man roster, right? So you've got some pitchers that are on the that you would view as on the 60-man roster but not on the 40-man roster, you know what I mean? So I'm fascinated at some of the guys that they have invited here. We all know who Ross Detweiler is. When you're talking about a left-handed pitcher, you don't really give up on those guys, so there's not a huge surprise that he's there. Teyron Guerrero is a guy that someone told me that he reminds him of who's the guy they got rid of, Thiago Vieira, remember the big, heavy, kind of hard-throwing guy. So he's a guy that you look at Guerrero as a possible. I think they claimed him in December and outrighted him in January. So it kind of reflects their interest in him that they did bring him back. Cody Hauer is a guy that was a sixth round draft pick, something like that, and they ended up converting him to the bullpen and got some success out of him. So he's a bullpen piece. Tyler Johnson, I kept everywhere I looked up Tyler Johnson, for some reason that kept linking to the old Cardinals pitcher who I think hasn't played in a while. This is the kid from South Carolina that that pitched very well. I think he was an all-star even at Class A. So, you know, these are young guy. He's a young guy that moved up to Double A, I think, last year, and they brought him in. You're going to need pitching. You're going to have to look at a lot of pitching and try to figure out what happens if anything goes awry with your rotation. And again, you know, who can help you in the bullpen, but also, you know, who can be there in case something goes awry in the bullpen. So I think you're working at a couple of different of places here. 24 of the 44 players the Sox brought are pitchers, and you've got to be able to line them up as you're going to use them and then have the consideration of what happens and how do you line them up if the guys that you want on your 40-man or 30-man roster when the season starts, are they going to be there or not?
Yeah, 24 is a lot for 44 players. I think when you talk about adding guys to the mix to get up to 60, you wonder how much close they will come to the David Sampson projection of having to need 35 pitchers, which I thought was a little bit high. 24 pitchers, yeah, and the names that you mentioned, God bless you for knowing exactly what they're capable of, because if we get to that point in the White Sox season, I think that something's gone terribly wrong. Yeah, they have their stable of guys, and boy, this is a really deep pitching staff. And you know, when you can pick from almost seven starters, and their bullpen is, you know, something that they addressed in the off season with Cishek, and it was already, I think, one of the bigger surprises of last year probably was the White Sox bullpen. And I guess you can never predict year to year what a bullpen is going to do, but they have some pretty promising names. And right now, I think organizationally, if you had to, you know, if somebody asked you what is the strength of the White Sox organization in terms of, you know, talent, it would be pitching, because they're rich at the top, they're rich at the back end, and they've got prospects like you described, and they have really just a lot of quality depth.
Well, I think what's fascinating is you start looking at guys, you know, like, you know, Zach Birdie's not on that list, right? He's not one of these guys. Now, they had made decisions on these guys already out of camp, and they were already reassigned to minor league camp. I'm talking about Birdie, and I think Matt Foster is another guy that falls into that range. So they've made some decisions on people. I would expect that Birdie will be among the 60, but it's interesting given his draft status and all that they've had to deal with him and coming back from an injury, that he's not an automatic when you're putting this thing together. So it means that that maybe another player has moved ahead of somebody in their mind, or maybe they're differentiating between the guys that would actually play this season versus guys that you're going to have on the 60 just to get them work. So, you know, I thought that was curious that he wasn't included, and I think it just speaks maybe to where he's at in his development, because there were other guys in the same situation as Zach Birdie that didn't, over the first couple rounds of cuts, did not make the roster, but they are included in this. And you know, I guess pitching-wise, that would be Dane Dunning and Jimmy Lambert, who apparently are further ahead in their recovery, their surgery recovery, than a Zach Birdie. So that's maybe what it tells you.
Yeah, I think we need a Zoom with Coop. I think Coop needs to speak on all of these pitchers, kind of give us a little bit of a snippet on each guy. What is he capable of? How much are the Sox counting on him? What is he doing on this roster? And start
whoa,
with
whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, come on, Coop. You can do that. Walk away from your animals. Find a nice quiet spot in your house and give us some quality radio like you did the last time you were on the
extraterrestrial visits, whatever.
Coop's the best, and he's got to be excited to get back to work. Because, Molly, I mean, when you think about a typical season, you know, ending from October to February, when pitchers and catchers typically report, there's 4 months, right? 4 months between the last time you see each other and the next time. And it's been about 4 months by the time when the White Sox get back on and the Cubs back this week. It's been almost 4 months since the last time they were together as a team. That's like an entire off season. So a lot of these questions are similar to the kind of things that we would ask in a typical winter. And so who's going to come back, and do you have to hit reset for everybody? And where is their relative health? And these are all questions that we're not going to know the answers to until we see them on the field.
You know, I think that when we talked in the 5 at 5, Kevin mentioned Jonathan Stever as a notable prospect who wasn't included in this thing. And I got to tell you, I picked up on that, Kevin, too, right away. And it made me worry that the issue he had in spring training, I think he had a forearm problem, that could still be something that's lingering. You know, you always kind of worry about guys that you think are on the come, and when they don't arrive, you worry there could be something there. So that kind of bothered me a little bit. And, you know, I think that in terms of position players with the White Sox, when I looked at that list, you know, they're already carrying catchers. I understand that. But I thought that Sebi Savala might have more of a chance as an actual catcher as opposed to Yermin Mercedes or Zach Collins. You know, I'm not sold on those guys as catchers, but they are kind of that, you know, they do fit into that mold of DH, catcher, first base, whatever you want to throw at it. I don't know if Mercedes can play first, but it was interesting to see the way that they line guys up. You know, Gavin Sheets can't break through that first base DH bottleneck, maybe in part because a couple of those catchers are there, and maybe that explains some of the roster decisions they made.
Yeah, I thought no news was good news. You know, the fact that there wasn't any big surprise at the top of the roster, the names that you recognize and had, you know, maybe suffered some sort of setback we weren't privy to. So that was positive. So when you see the guys who will be making those starts, you wonder, you know, with a 6 or 7 man rotation, 60 games, you've got 6 starters you trust. Does each guy get 10 starts? Does each guy get, you know, if you go 5 man, does each guy get 12 starts? How will you divvy up that responsibility? And I guess a lot of that will be based on, you know, who's healthy and who you can count on. And we heard Lucas Giolito coming into this. He's now at the point where his simulated games, he's basically throwing 3 hard innings. And how does he build on that in the next 3 weeks so he gets ready for when hopefully opening day arrives on July 24th?
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Well, I think you have to talk to each of those guys individually about, you know, their concerns. I mean, my understanding is, yes, they would be at a higher risk, you know, because of their cancer in the past. You know, to this point, you know, we have not had anyone that's talked to us about opting out as we sit here today. But that said, you know, I've seen in the last hour or so that 3 players around the league have opted out. I'm sure there'll be more. And I feel like we have to respect that. You know, everyone's going to come at these decisions from a different angle, but I don't think anyone that, you know, plays in the major leagues is going to make that decision lightly. You know, they're going to make it with a lot of, you know, input from probably friends and family and probably from teammates as well. And they're not going to take that decision lightly. So, you know, right now we don't have anyone that's that we know about that's considering it. But I think if we did, we would, you know, we'd respect the decision and understand that this is being made from a, you know, from a very important place of wanting to keep either themselves or keep their family members safe.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. And that, of course, is Jed Hoyer talking yesterday. And it's interesting because, of course, there was concern that Yu Darvish – well, I don't know that there was concern, but Yu Darvish had expressed concern about about playing in a COVID-19 world. And he is coming. That was reported yesterday by Gordon, that he is reporting and planning on playing. And certainly we had expressed concern, as you heard there, about John Lester and about Anthony Rizzo. And we know they're planning on playing. So that's fascinating to think about. The names that that he was talking about there included Ryan Zimmerman, who is probably the biggest name. He's not going to play for the Washington Nationals. And you also heard overnight or late last night that Ian Desmond went to Instagram and says that he will not be playing for the Rockies. And he made a post that is well worth reading, and we suggest you go read it. But the fact of the matter is that Zimmerman is, 35, heading to 36 here and nearing the end of a very long and productive career in which he's made close to $150 million. I mean, he's got his reasons for opting out, said that he's not retiring, or at least he hasn't made that decision yet. And then you got Desmond, who's, what is he, 34? He's got four kids and another one on the way. And it's a, I just wonder, we asked the question this morning, David, whether you, Darvish, and Anthony Rizzo reporting would encourage other Cubs play, would be an encouraging sign for other Cubs players if they were weighing whether they wanted to report. Does Ryan Zimmerman and Ian Desmond, does that send a different message? And will there be players that follow that less encouraging message?
Well, I think everybody keeps saying it, their own situations are different and unique. So Ryan Zimmerman will make decisions based on his family situation. His mother, I think, suffers from multiple sclerosis, and you know, there are some things in his family that have given him this sort of feeling that he was better off not playing baseball and not exposing himself to this situation and walking away from them for 3 months. You know, everybody is at a different point in their careers, though, where they feel comfortable doing that. They were, you know, Zimmerman, he's had a long career. Ian Desmond is in the midst of a $70 million contract. So he has gotten paid. Mike Leake is walking away from $5 million, but has already made 93 in his career. Different people will have different concerns that persuade them to make these decisions. And you have to respect those decisions. But not everybody, I think a lot of people would like to be in the situation where they can have that choice. I'm not sure that everybody in Major League Baseball, where I think 65% of the players make less than $1 million, and some people will be, you know, playing for money they've already, you know, been earned in the final 60 games because of what they were given at the beginning and in advance. So I think it's just going to be on a case-by-case basis. No Cubs right now have stepped forward. You did mention Darvish. You did wonder about him because he has been outspoken about the situation. But I don't know that you can fault anybody. If they choose to put their own personal health and welfare and their family ahead of their profession, you have to respect what they're doing and why, because everybody's going to look at it from a different angle. And on that, Jed Hoyer was exactly right.
Well, I think it's what's fascinating is that, you know, we know that there are going to be some Phillies players that will start the reboot, whatever you want to call it, the return on a designation for the 40-man roster, a COVID-19 designation that was invented for the 40-man roster. We know that the Mets have at least one player that will do the same thing. I would imagine that we'll be getting information on a daily basis once players have arrived, once the testing is fully conducted and fully understood. So I think that there's a lot of people that are coming in, and there could be a lot of people that end up testing positive before all this is said and done, before you even proceed to a season. And certainly when you start talking about a 60 game schedule, obviously you're worried about how you're going to be able to proceed if indeed this disease is coming at a fast and furious pace as we're seeing it surge around the country.
Yeah, you have to brace yourself for that. There's going to be positive tests on your favorite team. There's probably, statistics indicate, maybe 3 to 4 per team if it all falls in the way that it fell with the NBA and other leagues. But that doesn't mean it won't be more. It doesn't mean it could be less. You just have to kind of wait and see. You know, back to the Ian Desmond statement, I think it was really powerful and eloquent and well done. I do tend to agree with what Dustin indicated, though, at the 5 at 5. Look, I think that when you talk about Ian Desmond and his personal situation and wanting to be a present father and be there for his family because he has a pregnant wife and 4 young children, absolutely do what you need to do. Put yourself, you know, in the position to be the best dad you can, the best husband you can, and to protect your own health so you don't expose them. And then he took it a step further by talking about how this is the ideal time to step away because of the attention that needs to be drawn to the movement of Black Lives Matter and some other things about baseball that bother him in terms of the jokes that are told in the clubhouse and the narrow-mindedness of some of the players and the game and how it's not very inclusive. I believe that not playing is not necessarily the best way to use your platform to spread a positive message. So I'm not sure if those two things are compatible, but I think that when you talk about respecting his decision, if it's, you know, obviously related to health, yeah, you respect that decision. He took it a step further and he did it in a way that was definitely powerful and well done. I don't know if there was a disconnect there or not, because I agreed with one definitely, and the other point that he had to make, I guess I was less on board with.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very conflicted by guys playing and not playing, by how healthy and how safe all the protocols are. It's a difficult one to call from the sidelines, right? It's a much more real situation if you're actually a non-essential worker that is deemed to be essential to your team, and therefore you should report and do your best to entertain me. I just can't get on board with that narrative. I think that it is just a really honestly personal situation, and if you have anything that would hold you back from being fully committed to it, and a lot of people do, then I totally understand that. And you know, health and safety are things that matter most. Family matters most. You can't fault anyone for making a decision that you don't like, because you're not the one that has to make the call.
You're right. Yeah. And I think that's why when he talks about having 4 kids and a pregnant wife, my goodness, everybody can relate to that. You wish that everybody was in that situation. There were other kind of posts around social media yesterday from players who aren't as established and whose names you kind of like, oh yeah, I remember him. And they're saying goodbye to their families for 3 months. And the sacrifices, then some people will cringe at that because it's, you know, we're talking about baseball, but this is not your ordinary baseball season. And these aren't your typical sacrifices being made. It's not just leaving your family. It's leaving your family to expose yourself potentially to the risks involved that unlike any that you've ever faced. So that the health concerns, nobody's ever going to doubt any, nobody should question anybody's motivation there. I think when Desmond talks about using his platform to walk away from the game to bring more attention, or what bothers him about baseball, that to me is a separate discussion, an important one, certainly an important one. But I think that the two topics don't necessarily intersect there.
Yeah, I think that's fairly accurate. We're going to bring in Bruce Levine. We can talk to him about this, about some of the roster decisions that were made. I'm sure Bruce has some thoughts. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Play ball!
Bruce
Levine, 670, the Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning. It was a nice revelation to be able to talk to some people with the Cubs, David Ross, the manager, general manager, Jed Hoyer, yesterday in a Zoom call. And it felt more like baseball was happening. We got to talk to Rick Hahn at the end of last week and a couple of their players as well. So you get the feeling that baseball actually is really going to happen, and we're going to see some semblance of that starting on Friday.
Bruce, they showed that on the Marquee Network, and I got to tell you, it was something about broadcasting Zoom that made their faces so close to the screen, it was almost terrifying. David Ross, in particular, kept leaning forward, and it was like he was popping out of the TV. It was it was pretty funny to see those close-ups of a Zoom thing, which isn't obviously made for that, on a giant television set. But it seemed like, he was pretty fired up to get going. And certainly, Jed Hoyer was his normal calm and collected self.
Yeah, there was a serenity about Hoyer being in the backyard of his house. There were the outsides, birds chirping, So, this is a new world for us, as we all know. But it's also, as you pointed out, Mully, it's a new world of communication as far as how we're going to see our athletes after games, how we're going to hear them via Zoom, and no more up close and personal interviews for the rest of this year. Social distancing is being taken to a different level with athletics as far as media being able to talk to athletes, coaches, front office people. There's not going to be any contact. There's not going to be any 6 feet and away. There's not going to be, after a game, somebody jumping into, the scene with the player of the game and getting Gatorated afterwards along with the player. This is a different way, and it's going to be, again, part of the process of looking at sports with a little different focus now, and just a little different way of how we're going to be celebrating the game afterwards and during the game.
Bruce, Jed also shared the news that two staffers had tested positive for coronavirus, and the testing for players kind of continues or begins in earnest tomorrow. How would you describe or characterize, his trepidation in talking about what to expect and how they will deal with players inevitably when they do test positive?
So, that's a great question, David. There is, I like the word trepidation that you use, because there is throughout baseball. Just look at, Arizona, which was considered to be the safest place in the country just a few short weeks ago and months ago. And now them going back to, basically locking down the entire state. Can you imagine if they used that bubble theory that they were going to use for spring training and they were going to go to Arizona, Texas, Florida for a spring training 2.0? So there is a tremendous amount of trepidation. At the same time, positivity that the 100-page manual, the health medical manual that Major League Baseball put together for the COVID-19 epidemic, is something that's functional, and that there's a separate injured list for people that test positive, and there's protocol in that as well. So I think they're hoping, they being people directly involved with Major League Baseball, like Jed and David, that yes, there will be positive tests, but they won't infect the entire teams, and that these things will be handled with isolation and quarantine, and it'll be okay, you know, that they'll be able to continue the sport on. But to say that there isn't that quote-unquote, as you said, trepidation would be naive. It would be naive of any of us to think that that can't be a problem going forward.
And I'm sure it's not consolation in any way, but we've already seen some positive tests from Philadelphia, and they've already got guys in the protocol. We heard Brody Van Wagenen say yesterday that they have a player on their 40-man roster with the Mets that has tested positive, and they'll move him into whatever the protocols are. And I think what's really interesting about it is that they are not necessarily going to announce why players are out or if they have contracted the virus. They're just going to let you know who's available and who isn't.
Right. Well, those are the HIPAA laws. You know, yeah. I mean, anytime anybody is sick, you know, they have a right. I mean, if they want to declare, they want the club to be able to say, yeah, I have it, and you can tell people, that's fine. But, again, that's your privacy. You know, that's part of what HIPAA is all about. So from that perspective, we'll be drawing our own conclusions. You know, Jed did say in that Zoom meeting to the media people on the line that they're going to have to come up with some way of conveying what list people are on without, you know, directly affecting their HIPAA laws and their rights, because transparency is so important here during this time period. But protecting individual rights as far as their medical records and their health, certainly just as important.
You know, Bruce, I thought it was interesting to hear David Ross talk about the confidence he has in Kyle Schwarber in left field. Not a terrible surprise to hear that, but I think with the universal DH, now everyone, as we have discussed, assumes that the picture in their head is Kyle Schwarber at bat and being the DH for the Cubs. But you can mix and match, and he can get a lot of players into the lineup. Steven Souza Jr., you can look at David Bodie, Victor Caratini. How do you anticipate, how often will they use a different DH if in any given week?
At hand, a lot of times, like Ross said, and also just getting as much firepower in there, and also, more importantly, 60 games in 66 days, guys, a rest position. So you normally say, well, they're only playing 60 games. They normally play 162. Most of these guys play 150. That shouldn't be a problem. But remember, you know, we're starting, you know, a truncated season very quickly after 3 weeks. So the legs in cleats, you know, running in cleats and being ready to play the game every day, not having played games for months and months and months, not playing real serious games at all until the season starts, they're going to have to be really careful to rest people early on. So I think DH position will be a rest position initially for Ross to get important bats in the lineup, but to get them off their feet and in the dugout or wherever they're going to be sitting in the ballpark, because that's really important, not to get guys hurt early on. You know, just imagine, I think we've talked about this, you go on the DL and, you know, it's you know, two stints. Let's say you're on for 20 days. That's a third of the season you're missing, okay? If you're a pitcher that gets hurt, you know, you might be rendered out for, you know, almost half the year with a minor injury just to come back from, you know, a sore shoulder or somebody with a hamstring. So protecting your individual players way beyond COVID-19 is so essential initially to make sure that these guys are not hurt early in the baseball season.
Bruce, what was your take on the White Sox releasing the 44 players yesterday? Did anything jump out to you as a surprise, or any maybe inclusion, exclusion, anything jump out?
I was happy to see Vaughn and Madrigal, the number one picks at 18 and 19, right there. And I think they feel that, you know, they might not need Vaughn because of the firepower that can be projected for the White Sox offense and the way that they handled, that they added, you know, some big bats with Grandal and Encarnacion and Mazzara in the offseason, that they might not need Vaughn, but they think Vaughn is coming fast. You know, and he will be the first baseman of the future after the Abreu contract, and maybe before that, you know. So from that perspective, I'm excited for those young guys there. And I think the one thing that stands out, guys, for me on a lot of these rosters is the fact that there's tremendous flexibility to add guys within their organization, yes. But Hoyer talked about the ability to add guys off the waiver wire, people released. More importantly, looking forward to possible trades before the August 31st deadline, that there will possibly be movement and more of it than we thought going in, knowing that, thinking that, well, owners don't have money to make moves and general managers will be hesitant to trade young players in a 60-game season for a veteran that can help in what people consider more a tournament than a real playoff season. So from that, we will see. But the flexibility, both the White Sox and the Cubs roster, the Cubs have 10 open spots. The White Sox have, I think, 11 or 12 right now. So from all of that, I'm just looking at the idea that they're giving themselves the ability to make trades and sign waiver deals for guys that are released.
And Bruce, neither the Sox nor the Cubs included any members of the draft class yet on the 60-man
right.
pool. When you look around baseball and the A's, their first-round draft pick, Tyler Soderstrom, is signed and sealed and all but delivered. He is going to be part of their 60-man pool. You look at the Tigers, and I think they are planning to do the same thing with their first-round draft pick. Any discussion, any expectation that either the Cubs or the Sox will go that direction as well?
I think yes. And the reason I say yes and maybe later is that Hoyer and Hom both talked about the fact we don't have any minor leagues this year. Okay, there might be a minor league season in November and December if we're lucky enough to have good health in this country and they can have an extended Arizona and Florida fall league season. But there's a huge concern about player development for young players, in particular your top players in your organization and some of them that just signed, as you mentioned. So we might see the number one picks or the high draft picks, 1 through 5, come in to one of these camps later on just to extend their player development. Once the season is stabilized for the major league team, and, we're going to see a roster that starts at 30, then go down to 28 in 2 weeks, and 26 by the last month of the season, we see some stabilization there. Then you can start bringing these guys up for the last month to be with your top instructors and development people and get some semblance of baseball in so that they don't just rot on the vine because of the fact that there's no minor league baseball.
Bruce, always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate you jumping on. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Thanks,
guys.
Bruce.
Have a great day. Take care.
That is Bruce Levine. Always good to talk to Bruce. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.